Yo, welcome to Crypto 101. This is Matthew Aaron, and today we are talking about which crypto wallets to use. We're going to go into the different kinds of wallets, why to use them, what to look for, just some tips. First, as always, I want to say thank you everybody for listening. You can find me on Twitter at crypto_101, Facebook Crypto 101, on iTunes Crypto 101, in SoundCloud Crypto 101. You can also find me on kimcoin.com. My podcasts are being streamed from there as well. And please, just if you have any questions, comments, criticisms, anything, just drop me a comment, a tweet, a line, rate my podcast, and we'll go from there. But today, this podcast was inspired by a friend of mine, actually. It's an interesting story. I don't want to give too much backstory to it because I don't know if she'll ever find the podcast and listen. But the long story short is she was holding some coin and she was not in control of her coin. And that made her nervous, obviously, for many reasons. And it wasn't that, she just had somebody else buy it for her. And she didn't get it to her account or her exchange or her wallet. And she was not in control. And also, there were different aspects of my verification process that were scattered, two to the breeze. Maybe like she's not in the States or doesn't have a cell phone. So she used her mom's phone number to register Coinbase. So if there was a 2FA authentication coming to the phone, then it would go to her mom's phone. So she'd have to contact her mom to get. Anyway, long story short, it's very risky to do something like that, and it will stress you out. It will stress you out, no matter who you are or who your family is or what's going on. And so just a quick recommendation or a bit of advice for everybody is when you set up any account, make sure you're in total control. It's your email. It's your phone number. If you don't have a phone number, use two-factor authentication. Download Google Authenticator from the App Store or from Google App Store, whatever they use. As you can see, I'm a Mac guy. I don't even give a shit. and use that as your 2FA authentication. You really need to just be in control and make sure that if you need to find your coins or log in or log out or send something, that it's all on you. And I think that there is a bit of trust in the internet world that we are getting too comfortable with. And I was listening to a podcast the other day. It was Bitcoin Knowledge Podcast, and Trace Mayer was on it. I love listening to podcasts, and the reason why I'm doing a podcast is not only, like I said in almost every episode so far, is just to give the basics to people that are starting out, but I just love podcasts. I listen to them all day, and I have dozens that are on my list that I try to get to during the week. And this podcast with Trace Mayer really showed and was very insightful about security and the amount of responsibility that we hold as consumers. And remember, I'm not talking from a point of view of being an expert or a programmer or an investor or somebody that has a business in crypto. I'm talking from a consumer point of view. And he really emphasized how much the consumer really needs to take control. And this reminds me of my grandfather. My great-grandfather was a Polish immigrant. My great-grandparents were. And they came to the States in, honestly, I don't know, but I think it was pre-World War I. So their family, well, actually, they're two different families. My great-grandmother's families, which is actually my bloodline, and my great-grandfather, which is another Polish family, they came over pre-World War I. And, they did the whole Depression era, and they have that mentality of they don't trust banks or other people with their money, their currency. And when my grandfather died, my great-grandmother died first. And when my great-grandfather died, you know, I'm actually very lucky. There's not many people that have known their great-grandparents. And my great-grandfather, he smoked, you know, I don't know, one or two packs of Camel cigarettes a day, non-filters, you know, and he died at 88. And, you know, it's one of those stories like, yeah. And then he's like, my friend always says, it's like, yeah, my great-grandfather smoked, you know, non-filter cigarettes every day and he died at 88. He's like, yeah, you know what? My uncle smoked non-filter cigarettes every day too. He died at 40. I mean, he was just a rare breed. But when he died, we found in his barn behind a wall $100,000 in cash. Now, that just kind of shows you like what kind of mentality they had, you know. There were banks, there's Chase, I use Chase, and there's all these other companies and that people use for their money, but we never are actually in control of our money and we don't think about it. But he thought about it. He put money, actually they found money in his house too. He had money like all over the place, just stashed, you know, behind walls, under floorboards, you know, in coffee cans. I mean, that's how they kept their money because they didn't trust the banks, you know. In the 20s, depression, you know, shit went down, banks closed down, you didn't get your money. They just said, you're not getting it. And they're like, and he's not going to go through that. So it's like, you know what, I'm going to keep my cash. And that's what wallets and cryptocurrency is allowing you to do. You can do the same thing with, you know, your fiat and keep it in your house and in your mattress and behind your walls and stuff like that too. And it's probably better because when shit goes down and the bank doesn't allow you to withdraw or whatever, you know, for whatever reason, you just don't have access to your cash, to your resources. And that is what, you know, cryptocurrency is trying to help us out with, is they're trying to help us, you know, be secure. And I wanted to make this quick, but it is already 7.5 minutes of podcast, and I don't think this is going to be a short one. But I had to tell those two stories because I have to emphasize the importance of learning in this learning curve. We are not of tech. Not all of us are of tech. I'm born in the 70s. So if, you know, I didn't grow up with this. I didn't grow up with computers. I was lucky that my family was well off enough to, and forward thinking enough to buy a computer, a compact computer when I was in my late teens, and that was around the house. And, you know, we had the Encarta, I think it was, the Encarta encyclopedia. And I remember when the game Myst came out, and that shit looked dope, really dope. But I was already in my late teens, and, you know, so it was something I just never gravitated to. And then by the time I got my first email account, even was, I think I was 22, 23. It's just, you know, it just never was part of my life. So I have a learning curve as well, but it's so important. And I think that it's so important for the whole, people, my era and new people coming up to learn tech and at least how to manage that. And with fiat currency, you can grab a stash of it and put it in your mattress, put it in your coffee can. But it's not really that easy with this because you have to go and finagle and learn how to, you know, control your private keys and how to store it and what, you know, softwares you can use to do this. And you know, so there is a little bit of a learning curve, and I acknowledge that. And but it is doesn't mean that you just say, I quit, or I'm going to be lazy with it, especially if you're investing in currency. So, you know, one of my things that I think I told on the Poloniex podcast is that when you're going to start off in crypto, my best advice is to think of it as school. Think of it as, you know, I'm going to learn how all this shit works, and I'm going to put a couple bucks in there, say 20 bucks, 40 bucks, you know, not that much. You know, put some money in there and just do shit with it. yeah, you're going to get fees and don't care. Don't care about a couple of bucks. You know, link your bank account with Coinbase and send money over and then buy a currency and then shift it to Bittrex and then, you know, buy some altcoins and trade a little bit. Don't lose too much, trade a little bit. And then, you know, margin trade and then send it back, send it to a wallet and shapeshift it and, you know, encrypt your wallet and do all these things with it. And then by the end, hopefully you have still money left. But at the end of that $20 investment or 40 bucks or whatever you would put in it, I mean, if you're good at trading, maybe you have 80 bucks, but or more. But you have learned how to navigate this ecosystem and you are ready to invest and be more confident in what you're doing. And one of these confidences that you're going to have is, you know, keeping your currency in a wallet and not on an exchange. And not on an exchange means, look, you can keep your money in Coinbase and you can keep, and actually a lot of people say Coinbase is one of the best places to keep your wallet. I'm sorry, to keep your currency. They have vaults. I have my opinion about that. We'll get into that soon. But you can keep them in your exchanges. But you know, they're just there for anybody to come and take or manipulate, or the exchange to shut down, or the exchange to manipulate. I think you can see that very clearly in the past couple of days when people are talking about which exchanges and which wallets are going to support the Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin's this whole split thing and what people are going to do with it. You know, if you keep it in Coinbase, and they're very clear about it, that if you have your Bitcoin in Coinbase, they're not going to support Bitcoin Cash. So you're missing out on the opportunity to have multiple currencies. Well, you're missing out on the opportunity to have your Bitcoin have a baby, for the most part. So you have a little Bitcoin over there that you can nurture and raise and have it grow up. So that it shows you how much control that you do not have in on their platform. So, long story short, actually already long story long, you've purchased cryptocurrency. And you're going to need to put into a wallet. Now, there's different kind of wallets that you can get into. But let's first talk about some certain things that you need to look for when you're looking at a wallet. First thing, is it open source? That means their code, the way that it's designed, the whole wallet itself, is it operated in a transparent manner? And you can do that by going to their facts page and checking it out. And if it says, hey, you know what, our shit is open source, more likely it is. Look for keywords, because some are kind of tricky. That makes me kind of like, what does this mean? For example, there's a web wallet called Green Address. It says that they use open source applications. Now, I didn't look too much into that, but it means that it seems like there's a piecemeal thing that some are open source and some are not. And I need to know what that means before I start putting a substantial amount of money into those kind of wallets. But anyway, so look to see if they're open source. Once you find out they're open source, go in Reddit or forums and say, look to see what people are saying about the wallets and see if it's something that never had any bad reputation or breaches. The reason why that you want to use open source is because if it is not open and it's transparent, that means people can't see what this website is made out of or this application is made out of. And it's very easy if people that know how to code or know how these things work a lot better than I do or you do or that they look at this code and they can see if there's flaws in the logic or holes or back doors or what have you. So if it's closed, they can have that all in there. They can have, you know, when I was a kid, we left the second floor bathroom window unlocked, always, just in case we forgot our keys. And I was 10 or whatever, and you know, we forgot our keys, and my dad would say, "All right, go in through the bathroom window." So I would climb up there and go in through the bathroom window, come down and lock the door. Well, think of an app like that. You know, nobody knows that that my window was unlocked. Nobody. You want to know why? Because they never checked my house. They never asked me. Nobody talked about it. But if somebody wanted to, they could have went to the second floor, opened my window while we were out, went into the window, took all of our shit, got out, and we wouldn't even know it was them. We go home, all the shit's gone, and we say, hey, somebody broke in our house, and we'd be like, well, how'd that happen? Were your doors unlocked? the window was unlocked. Well, no shit. Of course they came in and stole your stuff. So make sure they know it's open source. And even though you're not a coder, people are looking at it. And then ask around on the internet, see what's up. Other questions to ask is, what if they go out of business? So there's different kinds of wallets. Let's take a look. There's desktop cryptocurrency wallets. This basically means that you're using your computer. You're getting your coins from wherever you're getting your coins from, and you're putting them on your computer. Now, if they're hot wallets, it means that they're connected to the internet. It means that they're always syncing with the blockchain. Or not always. I mean, if you open the application, they're going to sync. Your computer itself is connected to the internet. So even if your application is open or not, it's still connected to somebody or something out there that could come in and find a weakness in security. But for the most part, they're relatively safe. And a cold wallet means that they are not connected to the internet. So you basically imagine a USB or your computer that is just not connected to the internet. It's just sitting there. It's an old laptop or something. You have mobile wallets, you know, like just basically on your phone. Web wallets that are using some kind of cloud service. And hardware wallets. And these are just, you know, USB drives or some kind of hardware that it resembles a USB that are designed specifically for just keeping your currency. Okay, so what wallets are good? A link's at the bottom for, they say the best 10 best cryptocurrency wallets for 2017. And we'll just go through a couple of them. Desktop currency wallets. Exodus. Exodus is a very well-designed, beautiful wallet that you can store your coins. Now, remember, when you're looking at these wallets, not all wallets can store all of your coins. So you want to go to any website or any wallet that you decide to use and check to see if they support your currency. And if they do support your currency, make sure that you can get your private keys onto your computer. Most wallets give you the option to control your private keys. Now, this is just the access to your funds. And most wallets give you that choice, meaning that if you're not in control, it means they're in control. Now, which is, what can I say? It's kind of like giving your neighbor keys to your house because you might lose your keys. Look, you trust your neighbor. They might have a great reputation, but at the end of the day, they have keys to your house and they can go in anytime. And maybe you're not there and you're on vacation. They say, you know what? Meh, I'll go over there and borrow some sugar. Now, it's not a bad thing. You know, hey, no problem. Go in there, borrow some sugar. Or maybe you tell them to go water the plants while you're gone. But while they're there, they take a couple eggs. They take a cup of sugar. They might borrow your power drill. They put it back. But it's still a breach of trust. Anyway, so if you're using these wallets, make sure that they allow you to download and keep your private keys. Armory is also a wallet. It is, I don't know if it's owned or backed by Trace Mayer. I mentioned him before. He is a investor juggernaut, let's say granddaddy of cryptocurrency of Bitcoin. And he has a very funny quote from the last Bitcoin Knowledge episode. He said, "Why would you use Armory? Because the people who steal your coins will." And the thing about Armory is it's a little more advanced. And if I'm not a tech guy, is you know, intimidated by, you know, keys and, you know, just all kinds of things. It's just a lot to know. But Armory is a trusted and secure site. The coins, core wallets. Sometimes, most of the time, actually, coins, if they're, you know, altcoins or Bitcoin or whatever, they have their core wallet. Bitcoin Core is a wallet that stores Bitcoin. If you're using altcoins like, you know, Vertcoin or Ethereum or Digibyte or, you know, whatever coin is out there, they usually have a core wallet. Now, you can just go to their website, say Digibyte.com or Vertcoin, I think it's Vertcoin.com, and just download their wallets, and you can just put them into your computer. Make sure that you encrypt your wallets. This secures you from, you know, people sending money out of, from your wallet and taking money out, because you're going to need the passcode to send money out. But be careful that you don't lose it, because if you if you lose that code, there's no way to get it back, and there's no way to send your money out or even open your wallet, depending on what kind of core wallet they use. If you're looking at like Ethereum and Viracoin, their passphrase is right when you open the wallet, so you can't sync your blockchain, or you cannot even go into your wallet without this passcode. So your money is going to be stuck there if you do not have it. Moving on desktop currency wallets, there's Electrum, also very trusted. And that's the top three in my list. Mobile wallets, there's Jax and there's Bread Wallet. Now, they both allow you to have private keys and control them. And it's good if you actually have a ecosystem or a system or in your neighborhood or in your community where you can use crypto readily. So you just have your QR code there, or you have your, you know, you have access to your coins on your phone, you're making purchases, and it's pretty cool. However, just, you know, again, look into those a little bit. More than likely, they have a way to restore your coins to a wallet if they get lost. And this is, depending on the company, they can do it many different ways. It's either a set of passcodes and passphrases, your key, your private key, and different ways that you can restore from their cloud service, depending on how you store them. But just look into it. If you're looking at web wallets, the number one they say for web wallet is Coinbase. Now, on their site, it says that their vault allows you to control your private keys. I don't know about you guys, but if you're looking at Coinbase lately and the amount of shit that they're getting, or they're giving their customers for moving Bitcoins out, and it's not that they're giving them shit, then they're saying like, hey, you can't, or you have to go through these processes. They're just slow and it's not working. I saw somebody on Reddit just today said, no, I'm sorry, on Twitter said today that I requested my Bitcoin to be moved, and I'm trying to send it to my wallet 32 hours ago, and they still have zero confirmations. Means that they have not even been approved by Coinbase to be moved out in 32 hours. And that's a fucking joke. Imagine if you went to your bank and you went to the ATM and you said, hey, let me get a $20 out. And it said, sure, come back 48 hours later. You'd fucking kick that thing. So be wary about Coinbase. Even though they are very big and reputable, they do some things that are rather shady and raise some eyebrows. Web wallets, again, Green Address, again, very high up. And I'm saying that which ones that I've looked into and I've researched a little bit, because if you go online and you say 10 best cryptocurrencies wallets and they give you these, they don't tell you, they only tell you the good, they don't tell you the bad. Green Address, like I said, they say they use open source applications. I did not look into that, but just the wording itself means that it seems like it's piecemeal. Some are open source, some are not. Check it out. And hardware wallets. Again, hardware wallets are the USBs that we were talking about, or the hardware that is specifically designed just to store your coins. The Ledger Nano S is probably the number one out there. Everybody wants it. It's basically, you take it, you attach it to your computer, you drop all your coins in there, you encrypt it, and you forget about it. Pros of the Ledger Nano S is that it's cold storage, it's in your possession, your private keys, it's your money on a USB, and you can get multiples. And I want to say that they sync together so that you have backups of if you buy two of them, you have a backup of your stored currency on both. So if you lose one, you have another. And that is amazing. However, you can lose them. I personally, if I was going to use it, I wouldn't put all my eggs in one basket. I would have two with backups. And I would probably also have another one where I'd split coins. Like I'd put half my stash in one, half my stash in the other. So if I did lose one, I only lost half my stash. It's still my full stash. And then the Trezor wallet, the Trezor. I heard a YouTube guy on there. He's calling it the Trezor. I don't know how to pronounce it now, but we're going to call it the Trezor instead of the Trezor. And that just works just like the Ledger Nano S. And again, you drop your coins in there and it's like a USB. A note for all of these wallets is they usually, especially the core wallets, the hardware wallets, there's usually a way to back up your wallet. And we won't go into that because it's more of a online YouTube thing. I will put a link in this description of an example of backing up a core wallet. But what you really want to do is you want to, say if you got a Digibyte wallet or a Vertcoin wallet, there's an option to back it up. And it will just basically save a file to your computer so that you can throw it in your own USB or multiple. And this is the key, multiple USBs. So if you lose one, you don't lose your wallet. Back it up, throw it in there, and you know, put it away. So if you do need to restore your wallet, for example, desktop wallet is, you know, of course on your computer, you lose your computer, you spill coffee on it, you do, you know, what have you, you know, you can download the wallet again and take your USB and restore it from your backup. And that is a great peace of mind. Okay, so those were a couple wallets that you can use to back up your cryptocurrency with. And again, like my 15-minute story at the beginning of this episode, I really recommend be like grandpa and put your money in the barn. Put it in the coffee can. Don't trust the banks. Don't trust these cloud service because you don't know if they're going to be there tomorrow. You don't know what their internal politics are and if they're going to close it down. Buying crypto is great. Buying, you know, trading is amazing. If you have, you know, thousands of dollars or, you know, any amount of current money in there that is substantial, I mean, don't look even if you have, you know, $1,000 in there. Say if you buy $1,000 in Vertcoin. Right now it's trading at, you know, 50 cents. What if that goes up to $100? You know, so if you got 1,000 Vertcoin, it goes 100, that's $100,000. Think of it as how hard would you work for $100,000? Would you go to work? I mean, we all go to work, you know, and we work for however much money a year, $50,000, $100,000, depending on your job or whatever you're working at. And you go there for a whole year to make $100,000. Now, would you work an hour or 3 hours or 10 hours to figure out how to use your wallet and back up your currency that could be worth, that you're hoping is worth $100,000 in the future? Or maybe Vertcoin goes crazy like Bitcoin and it has 2,000 a coin. That's $2 million. How hard would you work for $2 million? And think about that and why you're making and setting up your core wallets. Anyway, thank you very much for listening to this episode. I'm sorry that was a little long-winded, but I thought there was a lot to say today. And finally, today's song was by Elderbrook. The song's called Woman. I found this on LaBelle Music again. I love this channel on YouTube. They just make some sick mixes. It's just, you know, soothing. I wake up in the morning, I research a podcast, I turn them on, I listen to them, and then I go, whoop, ooh, that's the song I'm using today. Hopefully they don't mind. Hopefully they don't mind me plugging it. But thank you very much, and we'll see you next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab. Also, on them.
Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.